Matthew chapter 14. The message today is a talk with Jesus about the death of a friend. Matthew 14, verse 10. And he sent and beheaded John the Baptist in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the corpse and buried him. And they went and told Jesus. A talk with Jesus about the death of a friend. Now John 11, verse 21. Martha therefore said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time the body stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And Luke 24, verse 13, and behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 3-4 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they communed with each other of the things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answering, said unto him, dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem, and not know the things which are come to pass therein these days? And he said unto them, what then? Look at verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophet hath spoken. Behold, did not the Christ to suffer these things, and to enter into his glory? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for Jesus, our Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our grief and sorrow to bear. We're so thankful, our Father, that he talks to men and women in times of sorrow. We pray from the words that we've read this morning that we shall benefit by conversations that others have had with Jesus when a friend of theirs died. So by thy Spirit, take these words that could have been written yesterday, but were written so long ago, and make them, as they are alive, be alive to us, and may they do for our hearts what they did for the hearts of those when Jesus talked to them. You know our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness, as you promised, and prepare the hearts of those who are listening, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Everyone always wants an explanation for the calamities that befall him. It was so in the Old Testament. It was so in the New Testament. And may I ask you, who better than our Savior could give an explanation when a friend of ours dies or some calamity befalls us? You say no one. And who but God in the Old Testament could give a better explanation of what calamity had befallen, say, Job? You say, no one. And that was Job's desire when calamity befell him. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come before his presence. I would set my words in order before him, and my mouth would be full of argument. So what had happened to him? He said, if I could just find God, I would talk to him in this way and in that way, and I would give my arguments to God. And the funny thing is this, when he finally did come into the presence of God, all of his arguments evaporated. And he said, I loathe myself, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And so all of you who are fretting, fuming about what has befallen you, and if you could just go to God and talk to him face to face, you would tell him how the things that befell you were wrong, and you would give arguments. If you ever were brought into the presence of God, it would happen to you the same as it happened to Job. You wouldn't have anything to say to God, because all of these thoughts of accusation, of suspicion about the injustices of God, they vanish when a man comes in the presence of God. That's the marvel. And it's happened every time anyone comes face to face with God. Isaiah sees God, woe is me. And so remember, all of these boldnesses, all of these grudges that you're holding against God, I promise you that if you have a personal interview with God or the Savior, that once you came into his presence, your conversation would change, your behavior would be changed, and all the things that you wanted to ask him would not be asked. This is the marvel. And that is the reason that I read to you, in addition to the passage in Matthew 14, a passage in John and Luke. People that had a conversation with Jesus about the death of a friend, and God, in his goodness, has put down just what that conversation consisted of. That's what's so important. What would a man say to Jesus? What would Jesus say to him? I have read to you what a man would say to Jesus and what Jesus would say to him. You say, yes, you have. Then, I have given you no less than 2 examples of conversations with Jesus about loved one who had died. You say, yes. And from the conversations I have given you, then you see how the conversation would go. You think that you know what you would ask Jesus and say to Jesus if you could speak to him face to face, but I'm telling you that your conversation would be no different from the conversations that are recorded in the Word of God when men and women did have a conversation with our Savior face to face. And the thing that fill our hearts when calamities befall us is this. Why did it happen to me? I want an explanation about the reasons. Not one question was ever asked the Lord in that regard by people that had experienced the death of loved ones. You say they didn't ask why? not a word. I've looked up every occurrence in the gospel of all the whys that were ever asked, and the Lord Jesus and the Father were never asked why concerning death. There's only one who ever asked why. Do you know who it was? It was Jesus. Isn't that strange? That the only man who knew why and could tell you why is the only one who ever asked God why. You say, isn't that remarkable? Indeed it is. And when he asked God why, God did not answer him. You say he never answered his son, never told him why. Now, if you ask God why, and when his son asked, the father didn't answer him, you think he's going to answer you? You say, what chance would I have? Then, do you not understand from the examples that God has given us in his word that such questions coming from our lips are entirely unbecoming? And if they are asked, God never answers them. There is only one man who ever had a right to ask why. And yet he, with the fullness of comprehension of his Father that no other human being ever had, when he asked why, he knew why. And yet he still asked the question, because knowing the answer, why these things happen, it is still incomprehensible, and our Savior, knowing the answer, still says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Understand, knowing the answer, he asks, why? And his Father, from the cross, never gives him the answer until the very last part of Psalm 22, the last part of the first questioning that he asked of God, and the Savior says, thou hast answered me. So, it may be that all of these calamities that have befallen you, it may be that just before you die, God will show you the answer, and you say, yes. And then with the answer, you go and you don't tell me what the Lord told you. Do you see? And that's what happened. What you have to do in the scriptures is to read everything that took place when men and women had conversations with Jesus about the death of a friend, and see what they asked and what they did not ask, and what he answered, and you see what is in order, and you see what God wants you to know. And you also find out what God does not want you to know and what he's not going to tell you. And so you're not to go through life saying, I must know. You will never know. It says, then shall we know fully, even as we are fully known. God has given us more light from this book concerning the unseen world and the unexplained calamities of life than any other source. And yet, still, with all the light that God has given, but I'm afraid that we haven't looked and seen what God has told us, even with all that light, we still say, it still says that only in the future we see him face to face shall we know fully. You say, well, if that is so, know fully when we see him face to face, then without seeing him face to face, you're not going to know fully. You say, that's right. For that reason, I'm going to tell you three things that are essential and tell you some other things, but I want you to remember these three things that Jesus said when he had conversations with individuals. He said to the woman at the well of Samaria, he said, woman, believe me. You say, believe Jesus. Yes. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in Jesus, believe me. That's what he said. when the Savior saw that barren fig tree that was pretending to have fruit, the Savior said, let no fruit grow on thee from henceforth forever. And the fig tree withered. And the disciples saw it and they said, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered from the root. And the Savior said, have faith in God. He said, have faith in God. Believe me and have faith in God. And this I have to laugh at when Cleopas and his companion were talking with the Lord Jesus. And this is what he said to them. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe. So think of that. If you had a conversation with a Savior and did not address him and respond to him and ask him the correct question, you know what he would say to you? He would say, fool, O fool and slow of heart to believe. You say, he would say that to me? Yes, he does. We're foolish. Why? Because he has already given us the answers, and we question the answers that he gave, or he gave the answers and we never read the answers, and therefore we ask the foolish questions that are an insult to God because we have not read the answers that are contained in his word. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have written. He expected them to know all that the prophets had written. And had they known it, he said, I expect you to be quick to believe all that the prophets have written. And all the things that had happened that were causing them to be broken hearted and all hope was gone that Israel should be saved. The things that caused them to feel that way were they did not know the scriptures and they were slow of heart to believe. And the Lord Jesus said concerning them, O fool. Isn't that an embarrassing thing to have the Savior to say to his disciples, O fool? But he does. So you're going to say, I have some questions to ask you. It may be that when you get through asking those questions and discussing things with the Lord Jesus, he may look at you and say, you're a fool. You say, how embarrassing. How could he say such things to people who are brokenhearted? Because there are many sorrows in life. There is much confusion in life, and it is unnecessary. There's a scripture back there on my wall that says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if I ask all of you Bible-believing Christians, is it so? Yes. Well then, why don't you believe what it says? Well, I don't know. Because you're a fool and you're slow of heart to believe. That's why. You don't know it, just as he said to his enemies. He said, you do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. You see, the Lord Jesus is not one who is a weakling, but even in time of sorrow, he draws us up short, and he speaks to us sharply. Why? Because many of the sorrows we have and many of the tears we shed are unnecessary if we knew what the Bible said and if we were quick in heart to believe it. Let me show you one that is quick in heart to believe. Before anybody knew about the resurrection, John, the beloved apostle, knew about it. It says he ran and he looked into the tomb and he saw the arrangement of the clothing inside and it said he believed. Peter went home wondering what all these things were about. And so later, when the Lord Jesus appeared to them and said, peace be unto you, John could have said, I knew he was alive. I knew. But the rest of them were taken by surprise. And you can't help but smile as you read that conversation that took place between our Savior and Cleopas and his friend. They're walking along, talking with each other, and the Savior draws near. Will you remember that? That even though you do not deserve it, and even though you are fool and slow of heart to believe, still in time of sorrow, the Lord Jesus will draw near and he will talk to you. And he says, what are you talking about? And they say, we're talking about the things that befell Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet mighty in deed and in word. He said, oh, tell me about this. He said, are you the only one around who doesn't know about this? The Lord Jesus is the one who had experienced all of these things. They say, you don't know what happened to Jesus? Do we have to tell you all of these things? So this is how remarkable it is that at times we are relating things to the Savior, and he already knows all about them. And he says, you tell me. And then when we get through telling him all the things that are upon our heart, then he shakes his head and says to us the things that he does. And then he gives us explanation. All right. I told you about a conversation with Jesus about the death of a friend. Suppose the Lord were to say to you, I'm going to give you an hour's conversation with me about this loved one that died, and you may ask any questions you want, and I will give you the answers, and all the light that you need shall flood your soul. You say, such a thing would be wonderful. I would ask about my father, my mother, my children, my loved ones. I would ask all of these things. I venture to say that you would ask no more than any of those who had a conversation with Jesus in the Scripture ask, because you think you know the questions that you ask, but in the presence of the Savior, you dare not ask those questions. Let me give you an example. At the well of Samaria, the Savior is talking to a woman of questionable character, and the disciples come upon him, and they're thinking in their mind, but they dare not say, why are you talking to that woman? What do you want with that woman? You see? So often things enter our mind, but when we come before this holy, righteous Savior, we don't have strength. We're not courageous enough to ask those questions. And even though Job's 10 children had been taken, and he was reduced to ashes, a loathsome, bleeding body, yet, when God came into his presence, all of these things he was going to ask God, he didn't have courage to ask any of those things. That's why I'm telling you. You say your children have been taken away, your wife, your mother, your loved one has been taken away, and you say, yes, and I want to talk to God about it. I promise you this, you won't have courage to say to him, why did you do this to me? You'll have no more courage when it looks strange that Jesus is talking to this woman, but they didn't have courage to say, why are you talking to that woman? What do you want with that woman? And at the same time, when Mary and Martha had sent a letter to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And the Lord Jesus stayed away 4 days. And the brother died. And finally, when the Lord Jesus came, they didn't say, why didn't you get here sooner? They didn't have courage to say that to him. They simply said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You see what happens to Job and to Martha and to Mary when they get into the presence of the Savior? There is something that instinctively you know that you should not ask him. And even though there is not a full resolve of the questions that are rising in your heart, you still have no courage to say, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you get here sooner? Why did you let him suffer these last 3 days? Why? Why? They didn't say a word about that. They simply said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Isn't that remarkable? Instead of asking a question, they are giving an answer. Jesus, they knew, could prevent the death of their brother. But the Lord Jesus did not. And the courage that Martha has is this. Now, if you had been here, my brother has not died. I'm not saying, why did you get here? Why did you let us suffer so much? But I'm saying this. I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, He will give you. You see? And the only thing that the Lord Jesus says to her is this. Thy brother shall rise again. She said, I know he'll rise on the last day. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You believe this? And in her way she says, yes, Lord. And when the Savior says, take away the stone, she says, Lord, his body stinketh. And the Savior said, did I say unto you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And she says nothing else. You see how the Lord deals with all of these people that question what he says? She didn't say to the Lord, why, you're a fool. What did you do? Why, you've let us suffer all of these sorrows, and now you're going to humiliate us by letting this loathsome, stinking corpse be exposed to view. She didn't say that. You see the reserve and the reverence she had toward the Lord Jesus? Lord, by this time his body is decayed. Don't cause us to go through this embarrassing, this traumatic experience. The Lord said, I told you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. And so then, what did she do? Why? She simply trusted the Lord. She did what the Lord told the disciples to do in Mark 11. Why, that fig tree that you cursed is withered. He said, have faith in God. So, if the Lord speaks the word, isn't it strange if a man would have to have faith in God to believe that that word was going to come to pass? Do you think that any word spoken from God is going to fall lifelessly to the ground, ineffectually to the ground? And the Lord spoke those words. They should have said, well, that fig tree is going to wither. But when they saw it, they said, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. What else can they expect? If the Lord has said, your brother shall rise again, then your brother is going to rise again. And if the Savior says, I told you if you believed you would see the glory of God, then you're going to see the glory of God. And so if you had a conversation with him, what more could you say to Jesus, and what more did he say to you than he said to these people with whom he's had conversations? You say, if he simply tells me that my loved one who was taken away from me is going to rise again, I would have more assurance. I think they believed it, but I would have more assurance. Yes. And if he said to me, I told you that if you believe me, you would see the glory of God. If I heard it from the lips of the Savior, I would have more faith. Yes. So, if you spoke to him personally, what more could he tell you that he has not already told you through these individuals that I've read to you about from the scriptures? What more could he tell you? You say, he could tell me everything, but he would tell me no more than he told them. That's exactly right. So everything that Jesus would tell you in a personal conversation, he has already told you, and you may ascertain it from the things that are written in Scripture and the other details that you want to know. He would not tell you if you spoke to him face to face, and he wouldn't have the courage to ask. You say, isn't that remarkable? Of course it is. And if you were obtuse, and if you were slow of heart to believe and were ignorant of the scriptures, he would say to you after that conversation, O fool and slow of heart to believe, than all that the scripture had written, all that the prophet had spoken in the Old Testament, and now the New. And so you say, it would be rather embarrassing if I came back and you said to me, what did the Lord say to you? I wouldn't want to tell you everything that he said to me. And if I said, now all of these hard questions you were going to ask the Lord Jesus, did you ask him? No, I didn't. Why? the reason would be the same as when those soldiers were set to arrest the Lord Jesus. And they started listening to him, and they came back empty-handed. And they said, why did you bring him back? We sent you to arrest him. And they said, never man speak like that man. And when you came into his presence, there would be an intuitive understanding and a reverence and an awe. And the things that you wanted to ask him, you wouldn't ask him. And the things that you did not understand, you would understand. And the only thing you could say is this. Everything that was already written in the Bible, he told me in his own words, applying to my case, these same things, and I don't know any more now than I knew before than I could have found from the scriptures themselves had I searched the scriptures daily. Isn't that remarkable? And what I'm telling you is true. If you have a personal conversation with Jesus, you would know no more now after that conversation than I have told you this morning. And the things that you could supplement by reading other portions of God's Word, because I only read you a little bit about it. You say, then, all things that pertain to life and godliness, all that I need to know about life and death and heaven and hell, about all the calamities and sorrows that befall me, they are to be found in this book? Yes. And if I had a personal conversation with Jesus, he would tell me no more. He would tell you no more than he told others, because there are some things that God never tells us. And that is what was upsetting Job. Two things were spoken to him. Who has hardened himself against God and prospered? And also, why is it that you are so upset because God giveth not account of any of his matters? And so if you're upset because God doesn't give an account of any of his matters, if you had a personal interview with him, he still wouldn't give you an account of his matters, because he is God. In Romans 9, we have a man that's talking to God, and a man presumes to say this. Now, if nobody resists his will, why does he still find fault? And this is the answer. O man, who are you that replies against God? You see, the Lord Jesus says to those that should know, O fools and slow of heart to believe, and a man who would presume to ask God these questions, he says, O man, who are you that replies against God? God is not going to give an account of any of his matters, and all that you need to know is contained in the Word of God. And so these are the three things that you could bring forth and home to me from the interview with Jesus, and it's this. Believe me. Have faith in God. And if you will not, then, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe. A conversation with Jesus, why, you'll get the same answers that I've given you this morning. So, have faith in God. Believe Jesus. And you shall see the glory of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, forgive us for being such proud creatures of the dust. God has told us what we are. And at times when we are proud, you would humble us. But then, our Father, when we are brokenhearted, you say, you know our frame. You know that we are dust. And you have words of tenderness and encouragement to lift up those that need such encouragement and strengthening. And you have words of rebuke for those that should know better and are needlessly weeping and sorrowing. So, Father, from all of these things that we've read this morning, we pray that by faith in prayer, we shall have a conversation with Jesus about the death of a friend, about the thing that troubles our heart, and let us believe his words, the words that he spoke to Martha, and the words that he speaks to us. Said I not unto thee that if you believe, you would see the glory of God. So let us have that patience, and in thy time and way, our Savior, we shall see the glory of God. We thank you for the truth of this in your own name. Amen.